Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Vyasa uvacha.
Vyasa uvacha.
Astyeva me sarva midam tvayokta. Oh, we don't have the... Okay. Again. Astyeva me sarva midam tvayoktam.
Astyeva me sarva midam tvayoktam.
Tatapi natma paritushyate me.
Tatapi natma paritushyate me.
Tanmulam avyaktam agara bodham.
Tanmulam avyaktam agara bodham.
Pichchama hetvatma bhavatma bhutam.
Pichchama hetvatma bhavatma bhutam.
Vyasa uvacha.
Vyasa uvacha.
Astyeva me sarvamidam tvayoktam.
Astyeva me sarvamidam tvayoktam.
Tatapi natma paritushyate me.
Tatapi natma paritushyate me.
Tanmulam avyaktam agada bodham.
Tanmulam avyaktam agada bodham.
Pichamahe tvatma bhavatma bhutam.
Pichamahe tvatma bhavatma bhutam.
Vyasa.
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 Uvacha.
Said.
Asti.
Asti.
There is.
There is.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
May. Mine. Sarvam,
all,
idam,
this,
tvaya,
by you,
uktam, uttered, tata api,
and yet,
na, not,
atma,
self,
paritushyate,
does pacify,
may
unto me,
tat,
of which,
mulam,
root,
avyaktam,
undetected,
Agarabodham,
the man of unlimited knowledge. Pichamahe, do inquire. Twa,
unto you.
Atmava, atmabhava,
self-born.
Atma Bhutam,
Atma Bhutam,
offspring,
offspring.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. I therefore question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge. Due to your being the offspring of one, Brahma, who is self-born, without mundane father and mother. Purport. In the material world, everyone is engrossed with the idea of identifying the body or the mind with the self. As such, all knowledge disseminated in the material world is related either with the body or with the mind. And that is the root cause of all despondencies. This is not always detected, even though one may be the greatest erudite scholar in materialistic knowledge. It is good, therefore, to approach a personality like Narad to solve the root cause of all despondencies. Why Narada should be approached is explained below. Srila Vyasa, the editor of the Vedas, is speaking here. The Vedas don't have an author, a Paurusheya. Nobody wrote the Vedas. You can say Krishna wrote the Vedas, but he doesn't say that. He doesn't claim to be the author. Usually the author puts his name on the book, claims copyright protection, or sometimes in India they write that the author claims moral right to be considered the author of this book, even beyond the legal rights. He claims a moral right. You know, you may copy my book, but you must not forget that I wrote it. But Krishna is not saying, I wrote the Vedas. What does he say? Vedais cha sarvaya rahameva vedyo. Vedanta krit veda vedeva cha hom. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. I am the Vedyam. The thing to be known in the Vedas, that's me. And Vedanta krit. I am the author of Vedanta. Because in his incarnation as Vyas, Krishna wrote this book. This Vedanta Sutra is not a Paurusheya. It was written by somebody. It was written by Vyas. Upanishads, the actual Vedanta. Vedanta means the culmination of the Vedas. Because all this karma kanda is not the final message. The final message is Divya Gyan. So the Jnana Kanda or Upanishads, that is the perfection of the Vedas. Vedanta. That is Upanishads. Nobody wrote the Upanishads. But Vyasadeva wrote the commentary on the Upanishads. Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra. Vyasadeva claims to be the author. Everyone acknowledges Bhadarayana, Vyas, is the author. So, Vedanta Krit. Krishna says, I have my incarnation as Vyas. And he wrote the Vedas. He wrote the Vedanta Sutra. But he doesn't say Veda Krit Evacha. Krishna doesn't say, I'm also the author of the Vedas. He says, Veda Vid. I'm the knower of the Vedas. So as far as Krishna is concerned, nobody wrote the Vedas, not even himself. Just like who created the Jivas? They never were created. The Jivas exist co-eternally with God. As long as Krishna exists, the Jivas also exist along with him. So they don't get created. Create means something didn't exist and you make it exist. You have a Sanskrit suffix, chvi suffix, basmi bhuta. That means something was solid. This table was made out of wood. Then I burned it. And now it's turned into ashes. Basmi bhuta. It wasn't ashes before, but I made it into ashes by burning it. That's to me suffix, e, bus me. Like that, to create something means it wasn't there before. For something to be created, so the jivas are not created. They always exist. Also the Vedas are never written because they always exist. The Vedas are there in Vaikuntha. In the entourage, in the court, palace of Narayan, the four Vedas are standing in his attendance eternally. So nobody wrote the Vedas. Not even Krishna doesn't claim that he's the author of the Vedas. But in his special incarnation as Vyas, he is the editor of the Vedas. And he wrote a few books himself. He wrote the Mahabharata. He wrote Vedanta Sutra first for the very educated, philosophically inclined Brahmanas, for the pundits and scholars. He wrote professional philosophers. He wrote Vedanta Sutra. And for the common people, he wrote Mahabharata. He's written all this and he's still not satisfied. This is his predicament. Anyway, Vyas, the Sanskrit name means editor. Usually the editor is not as glorious as the author of a book. He's usually anonymous. Nobody even hears the name of the editor. He doesn't put his name is not on the title page. Maybe he's mentioned. If the author is grateful, he may mention the editor. But usually the editor is anonymous. You think the author wrote everything. Actually, the editor changed many things. You know, even a great author has to have a good editor. Otherwise, his book won't be so good. Even the best author. So Vyasadeva is the editor of the Vedas. Does not mean that he changed anything, but he organized it. The example is given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Just like a rich man may own a whole treasury of jewels, but his treasury is disorganized. He has a big chest, many diamonds, rubies, sapphires, and emeralds, but they're all mixed up. So he hires a very trustworthy man who will not steal to sort out and put them in separate boxes. One box for the diamonds, one box for the rubies, and for the emeralds and the sapphires. This is what Vyasadeva does. That's his job. Because before his appearance, the Vedas have become confused. Mantras are all there, but they're mixed up. Rig mantra, Yajur mantra, Samaveda mantra, Atharva mantra, all mixed up. And Srila Vyas, his job is to sort them out and rearrange them again into separate books. So that's an editing job. But still, only the greatest sage can do this. Actually, it has to be done. This problem occurs every cycle of the yugas. In every Dwarpa Yuga, the same confusion happens. Gradually, through the three ages, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, the knowledge of the Vedas becomes less and less clear. By the end of Dwarpa Yuga, everything is confused. Utsana. Confused. The Brahmins are less potent and they cannot retain properly the knowledge of the Vedas. So Vyasadeva comes in each cycle, each Dwarpa Yuga at the end to fix up the Vedas. There's a different Vyasa. This is explained in Vishnu Purana and elsewhere. A different incarnation, a different person appears. Different Rishi in each Dwarpa Yuga. The next one is going to actually be Ashwatthama. He's doing meditation now, and he will become the next Vyasadeva. And there's a different Vyasadeva in each cycle, each Dwarpa Yuga. But Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, the son of Parashara, is special. He is not an ordinary rishi. He is special Shaktiyavesh Kala of Narayana. Empowered incarnation of Lord Narayana. This is stated with the same Vishnu Purana. Krishna Dvaipayanam Vyasam Vidhi Narayanam Prabhu Kogyanyo Pundarikakshat Mahabharata Krid Bhaved Bhaved. You should know that Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is directly Narayan, the Supreme Lord Himself. Because who else but the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead could be the author of this Mahabharata? And then it further says that even if the sun and the moon became extinguished, somehow life could go on in this universe by the power of the great sages and the Vedas. But if Vyasadeva never appeared, this world would be cast into complete darkness. If Vyasadeva never appeared. So that is his greatness. And in contrast to the other before and after him, the other Vyasadevas, Krishna Dvaipayana Vyas is special. He's incarnation of the Supreme Lord. But still, here he is, feeling, as Prabhupada says, despondent. He's frustrated, he's disappointed. Even after doing all his work, recovering the Vedas, putting them in proper order, and then writing his own contributions, Vedanta Sutras, Mahabharata, still he's feeling incomplete. Tasyaivam kilam atmana.
Fourth chapter.
One second, please. Evam pravittasya sada bhutanam shreyasi juja sarvatmakenapi tada natushyad vidayam tada. Even though he had done so much good work for the benefit of the whole human race, still he was feeling that his work was not complete, that he had not done something important. Actually, the work done by such a great sage has the power to change the course of history. At the same time, so many great kings were contending for the rulership of the earth. They were trying to change history. Kings like Shishupal, the great emperor of Magadha, and his vassals, like Shishupala and Kamsa. And even the Krishna conscious kings like the Pandavas, they were trying each in their way to change the course of history. Actually, we understand from Mahabharata that it was the Devatas and the Asuras who were fighting this proxy war. They had appeared on the earth as these kings, the good and the bad. They were coming from the higher regions to fight out their battle on the earth. So, such an effort on both sides to change the course of the history of the earth. But it was Vyasadeva who actually established the course of history, not these kings. While they were quarreling and fighting in Hastinapur and elsewhere, he was sitting in his ashram, far away from the struggles of the ordinary humans, and simply sitting in his cave with his few disciples, meditating and writing some books. But that work of simply sitting in a secluded place and doing his meditation and writing, making his literary contribution, this had much more power to change the world. A great sage like Vyasa could change the world even without participating directly in the politics and the struggles of ordinary people. He came down a few times from his ashram to come and went to Hastinapur and to Indraprastha because the Pandavas were his offspring, the offspring of his offspring. Pandu was his son. And therefore, Vyasadeva came to help the Pandavas a few times. But mostly, he sat in his ashram, stayed away from the politics. Such a powerful person. And now he's feeling incomplete and dissatisfied. And he's appealing to his guru, who has now appeared. Narada always appears at the right time in any place. When a deserving disciple is there and needs guidance, Narada can appear at any place. So he appeared at Badrinath just at the right time to give instruction to Vyasa. Of course, Narada also lives in Badrinath. He has his own ashram there, or his own place there. He's worshipping. His lords are Naranarayana. So the Narada is always there. But he came to Vyasadeva. And he's now listening to Vyasadeva's complaint and inquiry. Yes, you're right that I've done so much good work and I've contributed these great books. Still I feel incomplete. I have to ask you, please explain, what have I not done right? We'll read the answer in the following verses. It has to do with his not having written the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what Vyasadeva's unfinished work is. So Vyasadeva is a great disciple. Narada is an even greater guru. This is the foundation of our sampradaya. Lord Brahma, the creator of the world, but not just a great engineer, he's also Adikavi, the first scholar, the original student and teacher of the Vedas. All the great rishis, including Narad, are his disciples. Brahma is the first. But among all the sons of Brahma, the one who could receive the message of pure bhakti was Narada. Brahma had several, at least a dozen sons born of his mind. But Narada was the one who could understand the most pure message. And of Narada's disciples, the greatest is Vyasa, the one who received the empowerment to be the next in line as the Acharya of our Sampradaya. There are many other sages, and many of them are much older, have much more seniority than Vyasa. Sages like Markandeya, he lives for 7 manvantaras. That is exceptional. Other sages live for at least 1 manvantara. What is that? 350 million years, I think, is 1 manvantara. I'm not sure about that, right? But big amount of years. So sages, many of them are Chiranjiva. They're very long-lived and very old. Vyasadeva is a young boy in comparison. Now he's only 5,000 years old. At that time, he was a young man, very young man. 5,000 years ago, he was practically newborn. Little baby compared to other sages. But he is recognized as the greatest of the sages. It's also said the anyevya vaharamtyeva. Just like a rich man may throw so many things away. You know, rich people consume very opulently and extravagantly. The garbage that they throw away outside their house, things they just discard, other people come and use them. You know, people live on the garbage thrown away by the rich man. Like that, Vyasadeva, what he throws away, his garbage, is what the other sages live on. All the ideas picked up by all the other rishis are just the discards, garbage thrown away by Vyasadeva. That is how great he is. Even though he's young, he's recognized as the greatest of rishis. And his son Shukadeva is the next in line in the descending succession of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Shukadeva, among the many disciples of Vyas, he had so many disciples. He taught the Vedas. He taught each of the different branches of the Vedas to different disciples. Paila Rishi received the Rig Veda from Vyas. Sumantu Kavi received the Atharva Veda. Vaishampayana received the Yajur Veda. And Jaimini Rishi received Samaveda. Jaimini Rishi, great disciple of Vyas, wrote commentary on the Vedas. From the ritual point of view, Mimamsa Sutra. So Jaimini was also a great authority on the Vedas, disciple of Vyas. But Vyasadeva, when it came the time to teach the Bhagavatam to a chosen disciple, to appoint the disciple who will be the next in line in the descending succession of the Shiksha of the Bhagavatam. He passed over all these other great sages and he chose his son Shukadeva. Because Shukadeva had that unique qualification to be the speaker of the Bhagavatam. So these are the great persons in our line of receiving the Bhagavatam, speaking and hearing the Bhagavatam. The potency is most there. The potency is greatest when the speaker is on the level of someone like Vyasa or Shukadeva. Then the hearing, the speaking of the Bhagavatam is especially potent. This popular format of Bhagavat Saptaha was not appreciated by Srila Prabhupada. And in fact, even the same Bhagavat Mahatmya that glorifies the Bhagavat Saptaha, the reciting of Bhagavatam in 7 days, this you'll find in the Skanda Purana. In the Vaishnava Kunda, the Bhagavat Mahatmya, the process of reciting and hearing Bhagavatam in 7 days is glorified. But it is stipulated that this process is particularly effective only when the speaker is someone qualified like Shukadeva Goswami. If a mundane person, a materialistic person, recites the Bhagavatam just to make money, just to do business, family business, then there is not much good effect in that. That is actually offensive to the tradition of Srimad Bhagavatam to make material business out of it. But when the speakers are actually pure servants of the message, are not doing business, are not simply trying to acquire followers and reputation, then the process is really potent. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, among all the 64 angas of Vaidhi Bhakti, there are 5 that are especially potent. So potent that they will very quickly help you awaken love of God in your heart. Bhava Jatmani. Even if you don't have strong conviction that they will work, even without strong faith, they work. Shraddha Dure. Forget about believing. Whether you believe or not, if you do it, it will work. Just like if you take powerful medicine, you may not believe in the medicine, but if you take the dose according to the doctor's instructions, it will work, whether you believe it or not. So some processes require belief, but these five processes don't. To serve the deity of Krishna with love, to chant Krishna's holy names, Nam Sankirtan, to associate with advanced devotees for your purification and benefit, to live in Mathura Mandala, or the other holy places of Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavata Ardhanam Aswado Rasikai Saha, to relish. The fifth one is, well, actually the order is different, but the last one that I'm mentioning is to relish the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam in the associations of devotees who are rasika, who actually have a proper taste, who can actually taste the nectar of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not just a book of information. It's a book full of rasa, of the ecstasy of loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. That's what the Bhagavatam is about. It's rasa shastra. It is not just dry philosophy or arguments to defeat enemies or information to cram your head with. And then there'll be a test, examination, to see if you've assimilated all the information. There's only a one question test for the students of the Bhagavatam. The question is, how have you become attracted to Krishna? That's the test. That's what Bhagavatam is about. And the great authorities are here. Vyas and his disciple, Narada and his disciple Vyas. So the Bhagavatam is in its introductory canto, presenting its own history, telling us how this disciplined succession of reciting and hearing was established. This is glorification of the Bhagavatam, spoken in the Bhagavatam itself. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. All learning to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.